You're locked in with Atlanta's hottest hip hop station, The Hype 87.3.
That's right. It is your girl, Tampa Mystic, and we are live right here at The Hype 87.3. Man, it has been a beautiful and productive day, as every day is. We have a special guest checking in. You know, he's from New York. He's residing out here in the Atlanta area now. He goes by the name of Roger Hill. How you doing?
Good, yourself?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
I was anticipating meeting you.
Yeah.
I like your music. You have good positive energy, positive vibes. That's what I'm on. Mm-hmm. Introduce yourself.
So my name is Roger Hill. I go by the artist name of Roger Hill Music. And I'm what you call that new crooner of R&B. I'm a singer-songwriter and, just looking to get this great music out to everyone.
Yeah.
And I think everyone will love my music.
Absolutely. We're about to get this party started. Ain't that right? Well, listen, I want people to understand your journey. It's very important that they know like where you came from and how you got to where you're at now in life. Taking us back, Rochester, New York. That's where you were born?
Yes.
You resided there until what age?
I think I was...
taking you back. I'm
40, 41, something like that. Because I'm 53, so...
No, you're not.
Yes, I'm 53.
No, you're not. You're a young 53.
Young
53. Oh, okay. You and I, listen, I'm going to be 50 next month. You know what I'm saying? We seasoned.
That's right.
We seasoned.
We well seasoned.
We seasoned, baby.
Well seasoned.
So you spent majority of your life in Rochester, New York, or maybe in some of the surrounding areas?
Yeah. I spent my time in Rochester. I lived in Virginia. I went to college in Virginia.
Okay.
And I've always been in the construction.
Okay.
So I wound up moving to Atlanta probably about 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Change. It was, change of scenery, some things in the construction that happened. I was like, you know what? I'm going to come to Atlanta and just start over.
Yeah. Fresh start.
Moved to Atlanta. And during that time... Atlanta, Georgia wouldn't accept my electrical license, so I had to go through the process of taking the test for the electrical.
Right.
And then also with the general contractor, I had to take the test for that. So
yeah,
I wind up getting my general contractor license for construction and the electrical contractor license. I'm actually the only contractor in the state of Georgia with both those commercial licenses.
What?
So I have a commercial GC license and a commercial electrical license.
Wow. Look at you doing big things. I love that. No, you're not trying. You're doing. You're doing it. You're being modest right now. You're being super humble. Taking us back, to Rochester, New York, your childhood, what was it like? What was your childhood like in Rochester?
So when I was a kid, my sister and I, we sung at different churches. Up there, I think I was around the age of like 4 years old, 5 years old. And my mother was actually like the Joe Jackson of that era.
Okay.
She was the one who was booking the shows, like the 4 o'clock church shows,
yeah.
Different churches. And my mom also sewed. So what she would do, she would make my sister's dress or just she'll find a suit, for me. And they were, kind of
alter it a little bit.
And they would be matching, we'd be matching, and we were known as the Hill sister and brother duo, whatever. And we would just go and sing. And later on, my sister was being managed by Lou Ross's manager.
Mm.
But I never wanted to sing. As time went on in life, went to college and everything, I played football. I've always been... around music some kind of way. I owned a nightclub for 12 years up there.
Okay.
I promoted concerts. I met a lot of different entertainers back in the days based on that.
Yeah.
But I've always been in construction also. So when I moved to Atlanta, I found this place called Cat's Cafe.
Okay.
And
yes. Yeah. One of my friend's brother performs there. Yeah. So, I'm definitely familiar.
So Kat has, me and Kat are very good friends. So they have like open mic night on Thursdays.
Yes.
And when I found that place, I think it was about 10 years ago, It was a place that I can go to kind of like unwind.
Yes.
And
it's got that grown and sexy kind of vibe.
Yes. It reminded me of that New York undercover back in the days type of vibe.
Yeah.
And so I started going there. So I would be driving around, you know, like, you know, I'm going to learn this song, hit a singer. So I would go there and I was singing things by Jodeci, Donnie Hathaway.
What's your favorite Jodeci record to sing? Let me ask you that real quick, because
Come and Talk to Me.
Come and talk to me. I really want, listen, I cannot sing for nothing, but talk to you. Yeah.
Wanna know your name.
Yes, Lord Jesus. You can make my heart skip a beat. Listen, that was the most beautiful era. I'm sorry, I had to, because I love me some Jodeci. Mm-hmm. So Jodeci, and then what other ones were you singing?
Donny Hathaway. Okay. Heatwave, Always and Forever. And I remember one day I was driving and I heard Footsteps in the Dark,
okay,
by the Isley Brothers. And I was like, I need to learn this song.
Yeah.
So I was driving. So I think that was like maybe on a Monday or so. So I'm driving. So I had like till Thursday to learn it. So I went that day when time for the open mic. I thought I would know everything that I possibly could about the song.
Yes.
So when I got up there, I just told everybody, so listen, I'm going to sing Footsteps in the Dark by the Isley Brothers. Pray my strength in the Lord, because I don't know it all.
Listen, remembering them lyrics can be difficult, especially when you're in front of a big audience, you know, gets a little nerve-wracking. Mm.
So what I did, I sung it, and I did pretty good.
Yeah.
And what I started doing was going back. Each week I would go and just try to perfect it.
Yes.
Try to
perfect Same it. Song?
Same song.
Absolutely.
Until I got it down pat. And then as time went on, I started doing other songs. I learned Between the Sheets.
Mm, sing a little bit of that real quick.
Oh, I like the way you receive me. Girl, I love the way you receive me.
Whoa, I just got chills.
Coming on strong.
You have an amazing voice.
Thank you.
You have an amazing voice. Like, you nailed that.
Thank you.
And thank you for not being shy and just getting into it. Because I have some singers that I'll ask them to sing and they're like, oh, my throat's not warmed up. You just dove right into it. You a superstar. Wow, I'm impressed.
So it's like, you know, once I started, you know, really getting into it. So what happened, there was this guy that would come down there, and I guess he started hearing me sing. And
yeah.
He was supposed to have been a producer or whatever. Now, mind me, when I moved to Atlanta, I never came here to sing. I just was.
Did you have any family here?
No.
You just came by yourself?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I did, too. Sometimes you got to take that step all on faith.
Yeah, and it's like, I sometimes I wonder how I even got here, because I actually just picked up, left my house for like 10 months, and moved here.
Listen, life is about taking risk.
Taking chances.
Risk leads to reward. You have to take chances and risk, and you did that. So you picked up, you moved here.
So when I was at the Cats Cafe, this guy would actually listen to me. So he approached me a couple of times, and I basically kind of like blew him off because I really wasn't interested in, you know,
pursuing it more.
Yeah. And so what happened, it was Cat who actually really got me into it.
Yeah.
So me and her, we were good friends, and she was like, hey, you know, the guy keep coming up to me, asking about whatever. She's like, just see what he wants.
Yeah, hear him out.
I was like, all right. So he had gave me his number one time, but I was like, So when Kat told me that, so I said, where is he at? So she said, he's over there. So I go over there. I was like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
He was like, hey, you know, I mean, I love your vocals, you know. I wrote this track, you know, have you ever wrote a song before? And I was like, no, but I wrote some poems. He said, well, I'm going to send this track to you. And he said, I'm going to give you 2 weeks to write the song. And I said, all right, just like that.
Yeah.
So that was that Thursday. So I really didn't pay attention to it or whatever. So I want to say that Saturday, because I always drive around with a notebook and a pen.
Yeah.
So I just so happened to listen to the track. So I was like, it don't sound too bad.
Sounds pretty good, yeah.
It don't sound too bad. So I started writing. And the first thing that came was Tonight's the Night.
Mm.
And this song, which is called Come Back to Me, actually topped number 30 on Billboard last year.
Mm.
So when I finished the song, I finished it in 2 days. went into the studio for the very first time in my life.
Yeah.
And I laid it down. And when I heard it, I looked at the guy and I was like, that song is going to be a hit. He looked up at me like the guy from the Five Heartbeats.
Like, I got to prove.
So what happened? I kind of started getting into it. One of my home friends from home, he actually plays for Kool & the Gang.
Mm.
His name is Rick Marcel.
Wow.
And he also played for the Isley Brothers.
An instrument?
He plays the guitar.
Okay.
He's really good. And so he produces stuff too. So
yeah.
What happened, I called him and I was like, hey, listen, Rick, I need you to do some strings on this song, kind of enhance it.
Yeah.
So he listened to it and he was like, he asked me, he was like, do you want to pitch it? When he said that, I knew it was good. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it myself. So he agreed to throw some strings on there. And when he threw the strings on it, he started enhancing it.
Yeah.
But the guy here who was, I guess, you know, he was the black producer.
Yeah.
When Rick would send over the stuff to enhance the song, the guy would change it.
Yeah.
So I would send it back over to Rick and let Rick listen to it. And Rick be like, what is he doing? So in my mind, because I got an ear for music.
Yeah.
And I told the guy, I said, listen, I know how I really want to do this. You know? So I wind up going back up to New York one particular time. My mom had got sick. And I said, listen, I need some background in this song. So he's like, oh, I got the person to do it for her. I was like, all right, cool. He played it for me when I was in New York, and it sounded terrible. And I was like, dude, put it back how I had it. So we get
like,
back to. Now, he go the crazy part, though. So he was like, listen. What we'll do is we'll split the copyrights and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. Now, I didn't mind me. I didn't know anything about copyright. So I had to kind of do some research on this. So I was asking a few people and stuff. So it was challenging.
It is. It's very challenging to get all that business together.
So what happened, as I'm moving forward, you know, trying to enhance it, Rick was doing certain things or whatever, the guy was kind of like pressuring me. What's up with the copyright? What's up with the copyright? And I was like, dude, I said, just hold on.
It takes time, yeah. You know,
I'm trying to find out something. So he was kind of being really crazy. So
yeah.
So during that time when I got back to Atlanta and I listened to the song and I told him to change it back. And he was like, listen, I got this guy who can mix and master everything for $100. So when he said that, I was like, $100.
Especially for your vocals, because you're a singer. It's a lot tougher to mix and master a singer than it is like a trap rapper.
So this is a true story. So
how long ago was this?
This was November of 21.
Okay, so a couple years ago.
November 21. So he introduced me to the guy. He's like, hey, this is some sort of person, blah, 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 whatever. And I saw his mixing board. It was the size of a lunchbox. And I was like, that don't look like no Dr. Dre board to me.
Yeah, because honestly, the studios now, they do a lot of stuff off the computer.
So what I did, I started doing my own research, and I Googled some studios here in Atlanta, and I come up upon Patchwork.
Yeah.
So I winds up calling Patchwork, tell them, hey, you know, I'm looking to get something mixed master, you know, and they said, well, you can come in and take a tour. All right, cool. So I goes down there, walk up in there, start seeing all the Whitney Houston stuff, R. Kelly.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So then when I went into the studio and seen the big console boards, I was like, I was sold. That's what I'm talking about. So wound up going there, paid for the session. All right. Now, mind me now, the guy kept being crazy about this copyright.
Yeah.
So he came at me really wrong, you know, and I was like, dude, you need to slow up.
Yeah, slow pipe up. Down a little bit.
So what happened, I paid for my session. It was on a Thursday.
Yeah.
The session was going to be on Monday.
Yeah.
All right? So I told the guy, I said, listen, I need you to send those files over to Patchwork Studio.
Yes.
So what happened, Sunday came. I get a call, And it was from Patchwork. And it was like, hey, Mr. Hill, you know, we're calling to let you know that we can't do your session for Monday because we don't have your files. Mm. And I said, well, the guy sent he sent the files over. He said, no, he sent MP3 files. We need WAV files. And I was like, wow. So you thinking this guy is supposed to be a producer and he should know this stuff.
No, facts. Right.
So what happened, I'm calling the guy. He doesn't answer.
Oh, my
God. I'm texting. He doesn't answer.
So frustrating.
Now I'm like, man, I didn't pay this money, you know. So what I did, I called my boy Rick, because Rick lives in Houston. And I said, Rick, I said, dude, then screw me over.
Yeah.
So Rick was like, I figured he was going to do something like that because he kept changing everything.
Yeah.
So this was at 6 o'clock that Sunday. So Rick said, listen, give me a couple hours and I'll call you back.
Yeah.
I said, all right. So Rick calls me back about 9 o'clock. When he called me back, he said, listen. He said, I redid the whole song. Did it totally over different. He said, go and get your own copyright. He said, from this point, we don't need him.
Yeah.
We'll take it from there.
Absolutely.
So he said he sent the copy over to Patchwork, and then he sent one over to me.
Yeah.
He said, go and take it, listen to it. And he said, go there tomorrow, lay your vocals down, and be done with it.
Yeah.
So I got off the phone with Rick. I go to my computer, open up the file. And all I heard was that doom, 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 doom. I was like, oh. Which was the name of the song. It's called Come Back to Me.
Mm.
And it was just like, bam. So I went to Patchwork the next day. I'm in the studio. And I said these exact words. I'm about to show this dude better than I could tell him.
I know that's right.
And I have not looked back since. I'm on my 11th song that I wrote.
Good for
I've only been doing this 2 years.
Yeah.
Even though I've been singing since I was a kid,
yeah.
I never wanted to sing. But basically what he did was awoken a sleeping giant.
Nah, facts. He lit that fire up under you.
And so the new single that I have out is called Nobody Knows.
Yeah. Which we're going to check out here in a few minutes.
And it was produced by the legendary 4-time Grammy Award winning Stephen Russell Hart, who's the lead singer of Troop.
Yeah.
He's won Grammys, you know, with Chris Brown. He's done a lot. Key Sweat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done a lot of big things.
He's a legend.
Definitely a legend. And I've had people like Teddy Riley, who's listened to my music, and he's like, you got some hits.
Yeah.
The legendary Ron Isley, he's listened to my music. You got some hits.
How does that feel when you have guys like that who are absolutely legendary to listen to your music and tell you have hits? How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm a humble person, yeah. And it lets me know that I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
You know, even Sherelle, Alexander O'Neill, he wanted me to write him some songs. Sherelle, we're good friends, you know. It's like with all the heavyweights and they're co-signing my music,
yeah,
that makes me feel good, and it lets me just keep, you know, just keep going at it, keep doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm like really into it now. But I have some great music based upon what everyone's telling me.
Yeah.
When I write my music, I write feel-good stuff.
Yes.
You know, my music is love songs.
I love love songs.
It's feel-good. You can put my music in your car and just ride out.
Man.
It's that type of music, you know. And it's like bringing back that yesterday vibe of music, you know. So but that's basically how I got into this.
I love your journey, and I love the fact that you didn't allow that first kind of negative situation where the guy screwed you over dictate your entire future with this, because there are some artists, they'll get screwed over and they're like, forget it. They'll throw in a towel and walk away.
I've had some challenging, since I've been doing this, don't get me wrong, I've had some challenging times.
Yeah, of course.
I went through some different things where people kind of screw you over with different things and stuff, but basically, it's been the on the job training. You know, I had to learn all about the copyright.
Absolutely, the codes, so much to learn.
You know, yeah. And it had to be done in a short period of time. So, I think now I'm a little bit more wiser with certain things. But you know, I've found that there are artists who they'll go into these, I call it the backyard studios and the basements and stuff. And then they're so quick they want to put stuff on Spotify, but they don't have the codes. It's not registered, you know. It's like, what are you doing?
You have to absolutely, as a music artist, and that's a great point, and this is for any artist that may hear this now or later, you got to go back to the basics and get all the paperwork done. You have to get your publishing together, whether that be BMI, ASCAP, or CSEC. Get your publishing. Then you got to register with Sound Exchange. That way your radio play is getting tracked. And then you got to, like you said, you know, copyright things and trademarks may come into play. Sync licensing, if you ever want to get your movie, music and film. Like, there's so much to do.
Yes.
You know, but what's beautiful about you is that you learned how to do it. Once you learn how to do it, it's never going to go away. Now, yes. You know, and it gets easier and easier with every song. Because every song you put out, you got to do all this business behind it. Definitely.
Yes, definitely.
So you brought us a CD today of the single, Nobody Knows.
Well, it's actually six songs.
Oh, it's the whole EP.
It's the EP. You got six songs in there.
Okay. All right. Listen, let's talk about this right here for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You guys that are tuned in, listening in, he handed me a beautiful CD. First and foremost, the packaging is nice. Like, it's professional. Mm-hmm. You didn't take a CD and write on it with a Sharpie.
No.
You know, no shade to the people that do that. But just off of the presentation, I'm big on visuals and aesthetics. Perception is everything.
Yes.
So you hand this to somebody, they're automatically going to see this and be like, wow, this is super.
They're going to take you serious.
It's professional. It's a nice professional photo of yourself. It's not something that you took off of an iPhone 2. You know, it's like a nice photo. It's presentable. It's marketable. Mm-hmm. People will take you seriously because this is professional. Let me ask you this. I'm saying all that to ask you this question. I feel like a lot of people have gotten away from CDs because this younger generation relies on the Spotify's and the Apples, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to people who are not pressing up CDs?
Well, one of the things, like, I had a publicist, and they were saying, like, hey, you need to get CDs. The publicist that I was dealing with, they're also the publicist for Kool & the Game.
Okay.
Melba Moore, Mary J., a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And when he mentioned about the CD, I was like, don't nobody do CDs. And he was like, it's promotional. You give them away.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I was like, all right, cool.
Because some people will take them.
So one of the things that I found that is when I'll ask a person like, hey, do you have a CD player in your car, your home? And you're going to run into some people be like, in my car. Or like, I got something at home. Or no. You got to come up with time. I've had people tell me that. I'm like, hey, I understand about standing. But there are some people who are of age who do have or still have CD players.
Absolutely. I'm one of them.
I have something, you know, you have some.
Yeah.
You know, so you got people that maybe, I'll say at least 45 and up that may have it.
Correct, yes.
You know, younger people may not have it.
Right.
But it's also, when I really look at it, when I give this to people, you know, I feel they're going to take me serious because this is very professional.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay? Whether you have a CD player or not.
Yeah.
The image, visual, just like you said, means a lot.
Yes.
So people really take me serious. So then when they listen to the music and see how good everything is, you know, radio ready, people, you know, they look at you different.
Yes. And my suggestion would be to anybody, again, that listens to this, even if you don't have a CD player, I would suggest still taking one because this could be worth some money one day, like a lot of money. When you start getting those Grammys and you're hitting the top Billboard charts, they're going to be like, oh, I have one of his CDs. Like it becomes like a collector's item or a momentum or a trophy.
And the thing about it, like people don't understand that vinyls are basically coming back.
They definitely are.
Vinyls come back. Guess what? CDs are coming back. And here's another thing too, people don't understand. With Spotify and Apple Music, you're not making a whole lot of money.
It's insulting how much you're making. It's like a punch in the gut.
So if you get something like this, yo, once people start hearing about you, I can sell these.
Yes, you can.
You know?
Absolutely. That's what everybody was doing back in the day. $10 a pop, $15 a pop.
So you can make some money and stuff. So you'll make it more to sell than you would on Spotify.
Absolutely. You have your own website?
Yes. My own website is under RogerHillMusic.com, and I'm on all social media under Roger Hill Music.
On your website, do you sell your music on there? You might want to do that.
Put it like this. I will be. Basically, I just been kind of like trying to get the word out.
Building the momentum.
Create a demand. Yeah. And so far, through me giving away, you know, because it's basically a promotional, just giving stuff away.
Sure.
You gotta do a little something, give away something in order to gain something.
You gotta pay for promo and marketing.
But for those who have never heard my music and you hear it, I got you.
Yeah.
You know, because there are people who have heard my music, they love it.
Yes.
But there's always somebody out there that hasn't heard it yet.
Of course. Absolutely. You know? It's a big world out there.
So as time goes on, you know, yes, I'll be able to sell, because you're still going to have people who have CDs or whatever that want to buy them, you know.
Of course.
And they want that. So I will actually be setting that up, because I already spoke to my web guy about it, actually putting that into play. But, you know, for everybody, you want to learn a little more about me, go to my website. You can see the whole, you can see all the pictures of me with all the heavyweights, the Ron Isleys, the Teddy Rileys.
Yes.
Who else? George Clinton. I mean, a lot of people, you know. And like I said, it's RogerHillMusic.com. And then I got samples also of all my music that I have out.
Okay, on your website?
On my website. You can click on and listen to all the samples.
A snippet of it.
A little snippet.
I love that.
And you'd be like,
I need to go download that.
Yeah.
That is fire. Now, let's just hone in on that for a moment. First and foremost, I commend you for having your own website.
Mm-hmm.
I tell artists all the time, that is your domain that you own. We don't own our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
We're just leasing space on their platform. We don't own our TikTok or our Twitter. We don't own our Facebook. You have to have a .com because you own that.
Yes.
With that, you can do whatever you want on there. Because on Instagram, they're finicky. Certain things you post or say, they're going to flag you, take it down. On your website, you can do anything you want. So I just commend you first and foremost for having your own website. That's beautiful. You have to have that.
Yes.
Secondly, I love the fact that you were innovative in putting some snippets on there, because that's a great, it's like giving people an appetizer.
Yes.
Or, you know, you walk through the food court at the mall and they're like, you want a sample? You want a sample? Then it draws you and you're like, dang, this is good. Let me go buy a whole plate.
Yes.
Boom. That's the same concept that you're doing on your website. You're feeding them just a little bit to make them want to go listen to the entire song and actually download it, or maybe even buy it if it's for sale somewhere.
You got to be very creative in today's music world.
Yeah.
I learned a lot in these last 2 years. And you have to do, a lot of people don't understand, record labels are not out there giving contracts no more.
No, absolutely.
You have to.
They're laying people off, like Universal just did.
Like, I have a friend who just, a lot of these record labels are doing like one deal, like a single deal.
Yeah.
You know, and it'd be for X amount of time. And if it does something, cool. If it don't, all right, see you later. We ain't lost nothing.
Absolutely.
That's what they're doing. So you have to create some great music.
Yes.
Whatever you're doing. And everything is a visual.
Yes, yes.
Everything is a visual. And you have to just go out there. Like, I run ads on social media.
Yes.
Steady just running ads.
I think that's how you probably found me, because I was running ads on social media.
I see that, you know, on Instagram.
It works.
And I run ads on all of that stuff. Just constantly
you
running ads.
You have to.
And people, when I started, I think I might have had like 30 or 40 people.
Yeah.
You know, like on Facebook now, I think I'm up to around 7,000 or 8,000 or something.
Wow, that's amazing. Is it your Facebook like page is Roger Hill Music?
So my Facebook fan page is Roger Hill Music.
Okay.
On my Instagram is Roger Hill Music.
Yes.
And then also, you know, people can follow me under Roger Hill.
Yeah.
But my artist name is Roger Hill Music.
Music. I love it.
You know, because I work them all.
Yeah.
I work them all. Then I have YouTube, Roger Hill Music.
Yes.
You know. So I have to go and just be creative at doing different things.
It's like a full-time job just doing that, right? Running all your social medias yourself, thinking of and creating new content. It's like a full-time job.
And it's like, I had someone that wanted to charge me $1,000 a month. I'm like, shoot. Please, I'm doing myself.
No, absolutely, because I'm like you. I like to be hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
I like to actually converse and talk to people, because if you hire someone else to do it, you don't know, are they going to represent you well? You get what I'm saying? So I'm with you. Like, even though it's a lot of work, I prefer to do it myself.
And you know, everything, you know, I have a time for everything, you know. One of the things I would tell anybody who's trying to get into this music, you know, I've been on the the other side. Yeah. Now that I'm on the, you know, artist side, singing side. And I've came across people who wanted an artist to interact with them or give them an autograph. And they kind of like, you know. And one thing I'll tell people like this, I say, no matter how big I may get in this, I'm going to always be me.
Yeah, stay humble.
And like on my social media, on Facebook, on the Facebook one, I'll ask questions. I always say good morning to everyone and get people interacting.
Get them engaging then, with you, yeah.
That's right. And then I'll ask questions. You know, I think I just did one Friday and said, hey, you know, I'm a personal person. Let me get to know y'all. What do you like?
Yeah.
And they started answering, and I started going back and forth with them. And people are like, oh, I love the idea that you're, you know, in, because it makes them feel good.
Absolutely. It shows that that's the human element that's coming out. It mm-hmm. shows that you're a real person and that you're interacting with your people, and it helps your analytics go up. When people are engaging mm-hmm. with you, it helps you get more noticed on social media.
And the other thing, too, is that you got to understand, like, you can have the best record out, best single out, but if your fans don't interact with you, they could care less about this.
Dead in the water.
But if they interact with you, they're going to interact with your music.
100%. Absolutely.
So that's something that people need to know.
That's important, because I'm like, me as a music lover, there's been artists that I'll like their music, but I'll either meet them or I'll see how they interact with people and they're a complete a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm not a fan of yours no more. Like, I'm big on energy and that. So that is very important, you know, just being a humble person. Like, you got to have your boundaries. You don't want to let people in too close. Oh, yeah. But at the same time, you do got to let them in a little bit, because without our fans, who are we?
Mm-hmm. So most people be like, oh, Roger, cool. That's what they say.
You are cool.
I'm a very down-to-earth person. Yeah. Cool, whatever, you know. When people look at me, when they hear my music, they be like, you don't look like you sing. You ever heard of Jeff Fox from Sirius XM Radio?
I don't think so.
Call it the Fox That Rock. Song, okay. Whatever. Jeff had heard Nobody Knows.
Yeah.
And I never forget, he was sitting, he's listening to it. He looked up at me, put his head back down. So he asked me, he's like, you play the piano? I was like, I play a little.
Yeah.
You know, put his head back down. So then he was like, after he got through hearing the song, he was like, now, you mean to tell me that what I just heard came up out of your mouth? I said, no, that was Prince.
Long live.
He was like,
wow.
He was like, wow, dude. He was like,
you got it.
The vocals is no joke, you know. So this is what other people say. You know, I've had people say all kind of things, you know, oh, you sound like Ron or whatever. You know, it is what it is. You know, I try to be me.
Absolutely, you know, but that's still a great compliment, though.
Yes,
you know,
a lot of I had different radio stations that played the song "Come Back to Me." Like I said, it topped number 30 on Billboard, and
that's amazing. Congratulations!
One of the things they were like, you know, gosh, sound like Ron. You know, maybe some notes I might hit, but I have my own. You know, I'm trying to come into my own.
Yeah,
I want people to know that it's about Roger Hill music.
When they hear your voice. That was just ironic, because I was just thinking about this last night. It's like, I want people to recognize my voice when they hear it. Mm-hmm. It's no different. When one of your records is playing, they know, matter of fact, no question, that's Roger Hill. Mm-hmm. Because there's other artists out there, you know, like when Usher sings, we know that's Usher. Yeah. When Chris Brown sings, we know that's Chris Breezy. Mm-hmm. You're developing your own sound, which you do have your own sound. It's just now a matter of getting the whole world to hear it.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Music is your absolute passion. It's your passion, no question. What is your purpose with music?
I'm still trying to figure all that out. Yeah. I mean, like I said, when I moved to Atlanta, I would have never thought in a million years I would be doing any of this.
Yeah.
Because I never wanted to sing, even when I was a kid. Now that I'm here, I'm in it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to take it to wherever I can. Just last week, I just made the deadline to register for the Recording Academy. So
congratulations.
So hopefully, you know, if everything goes well, I'll become a member in the Recording Academy.
If you need any assistance with that, I have a personal friend of mine who is a part of the Recording Academy. Mm-hmm. He helps artists with that, and he helps artists get their plaques. You know, oftentimes artists are entitled to plaques, and they don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
he's a great individual, somebody definitely. That I could connect you with definitely. If it comes to, you know, and you need some assistance with that. And most of his services, he said he don't even charge for. He just likes to help people.
Yes.
So I'll make sure you make his acquaintance.
Definitely.
That is dope. So when you're not doing music and you have a little free time, what do you enjoy doing? Let's get on the personal side real quick.
Personal side? Well, I build houses here in Atlanta. That's what I do.
Yes, because you...
That's my day work.
Yes.
The aggravated, you know...
Construction and electrical work.
With both the construction and the music,
yeah,
it's a full-time job.
100%. It's two full-time jobs.
And then the other thing is, like, when I'm writing songs, I have to get off into my own world.
Yeah.
And, like, when I'm I wrote, tell you, I did like three houses. I wrote songs. I probably wrote two songs in each one of those houses. the other thing too is like
it's hard to get away from it when you love it so much.
It's just like it just started coming, and then like a lot of my songs, they may be from experiences, but then it's like one of my songs I wrote called "Your Heart, My Heart." I just wanted to create a song where there's a connection with you and I.
Yes.
It's not about anyone.
Yeah.
It's just something positive. Your heart, my heart.
Yes.
And just basically telling you, you know, I'll be there for you. You don't have to worry. We'll pray together. That type of thing. Things that people really want to hear that's not really going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we are definitely lacking that in mm-hmm. the industry. You know, my last guest, we were talking about the same thing because he makes, you know, positive type music, mm-hmm. Doesn't use profanity in his music, just mm-hmm. really positive, uplifting, loving type music. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like in the music industry as a whole, no genre in particular, do you feel like we're lacking a lot of that positivity?
Yeah, we're lacking a lot, you know, especially when it comes to the R&B world.
Yeah.
Like, all my music is clean.
Yes.
Even if you really listen to how I write my songs, it will take you somewhere.
Yes.
But the way I write it is very clean and nice and, you know. So you have to be creative
yes.
when you're doing that type of stuff.
Very creative.
And it's what everyone is really wanting these days.
Yeah.
They want to go back to that. Oh man, they don't make that R&B no more.
Right.
You know, we don't hear that soulful sound anymore.
Yes.
You know, and really when you really listen to a lot of the music that's being played now is being just repeat of the Isley Brothers.
Yes.
Frankie Beverly and May. Frankie ain't did nothing in years.
Yeah.
But they still play it.
No, absolutely.
You know,
when you make timeless music, it's never going to go away.
And I think the music that I have, I think it's timeless.
Yeah, I agree. From what I have heard, I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited. I can't wait to pop this bad boy in and listen to the entire thing. And I'm going to give you my honest, absolute feedback. I already know that. I'm going to love it.
I want that.
But I'm going to give you my honest feedback because I'm definitely, I feel like I have a good ear for music because mm-hmm. I appreciate all genres of music. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about tapping into other genres of music?
No. I had that discussion last week, and I'm like, listen, I'm not about to sing no country. I'm about to stay in my lane.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because you got to understand, it's hard enough just getting to this point
absolutely.
Where I'm at now.
100%.
You know, you got to understand, people like Charlie Wilson, the Isleys, Frankie Beverly, they've been out here for years.
Pre-social media.
But 2 years. I got a long way to go, you know, so... I have to do things a little bit different. Like right now we live in a world where it's single.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, people worried about an album. It's like, why are you worrying about an album when you don't even have an album fan base?
Yeah, you don't. Exactly. You barely got a single fan base, you know, let alone putting out an entire body of work. You are absolutely right.
So my reason for putting out an EP is to give everybody opportunity to hear my vocal ranges, to hear
absolutely
different things that I can do with my vocals.
Like you said, it's a promotional tool.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing too is I'm pushing one song.
Yeah.
I'm pushing the one single, which is Nobody Knows.
Yes.
But if you go into either Spotify, YouTube, or get a chance to buy one of my CDs or whatever, you will hear more music that I have.
Yes.
So that's really what I did. But I have more music that I haven't even released yet.
I think you're absolutely doing it the right way. Like, as a music artist, you in the era we're in now with the Spotify's and how the algorithm works, they want you to constantly release music. And it's okay to do that. You can put out a new song every month, but you got to have that one song that you are putting your everything behind. And then along the way, they might hear some of these other songs, and one of those might end up taking off. You never know.
Yes.
But it's very expensive to push a record.
Yes.
So imagine trying to push 10 of them. Yes. People go broke. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's great to focus on one single that you believe in. And then for promotional purposes, like you did, present them with some of your other music. Like, you know, hey, here's a little appetizer. Go check it out. And they might fall in love with the other music. And that's where you develop your fans. I believe you build your most core fan base doing interacting face to face. Online, then people don't care about us.
No.
They got other stuff. It's when you build those face to face relationships with people, like what you're doing now, getting out here doing interviews and stuff. Super important.
So one of the things I'm also doing is like with the music that I have already that I have not released.
Yeah.
And I have some bangers. What I'm doing is pushing the one song.
Yes.
And whichever one, if it's that Nobody Knows or whichever one, Catch Fire, right? Then once that run its course, I'll come back with another banger.
Bam.
Because what I'm trying to show the people is that I'm consistent.
Yes.
You have to show them that you're consistent with good music.
Yes. Right, not a one-hit wonder.
Yes.
Super important. Well, listen, I definitely appreciate you explaining all your journey to us, you know, letting us into your world, you know, Roger Hill Music, you know, you really let us get in depth with your world. What's the very next thing that we can expect, or, you know, maybe next couple things that you have up your sleeve that we can be on the lookout for?
Well, I have some, right now I'm pushing these six songs, but yeah. I'm just pushing this one. And I do have some other music. Like I said, it's great. It's fabulous. I'm in the studio right now. Me and Steve, we're working on new music.
Yeah.
And I'm basically just putting it into the catalog.
Right.
So once, like I said, once it take off, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm also trying to put together a show here in Atlanta.
Mm.
You know, trying to find a venue that I can, you know, do something,
yeah,
you know, maybe 500-600, you know, 1,000, whatever.
Yeah.
And I do have a band, and
man, I love it.
I actually performed at St. James Live last year. I did an Isley tribute, sold out two shows.
Man.
People were really surprised because they wasn't expecting me to, you know, do it like that. And I also sung some of my music. And the funny thing about it is, like, one of my songs, they really liked.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, where can we download that at?
There you go.
I was like, it's not out.
It's unreleased. You all got the first sneak peek of it. But that's beautiful, though. That makes you feel good.
Yes.
That makes you feel good.
Feel that I'm on the right track.
Absolutely. You're connecting with the people. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking some time with us today. Thank you so much for being here and, you know, telling us about your journey. We're definitely going to stay tuned in and tapped in with what you got going on. I know we gave it out a couple times, but maybe they missed it. Tell them your website, your social media, where they can keep up with you.
So you can keep up with me on all social media, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Roger Hill Music.
Yes.
And you can go to my website. My website is rogerhillmusic.com. Go there. Take a look at it. Become one of the subscribers.
Yes.
And that way I'm trying to build up a fan base also, let you know when I'm doing different shows. I have some shows coming out. And here's the thing that I didn't mention that I want people to know. In these last 2 years, I've opened up for Babyface, Sherelle, Lakeside, Lila James, who else? Loose Ends.
Mm.
I've done shows. I've done some stuff for all around the country. I have a show that's coming up in Detroit in June.
Mm.
I'll be in Florida. I think the one in Detroit, I know it's supposed to be me, Climax, Chubb Rock next, some other people.
Nice.
So I am out here trying to, you know, pass the word, get everybody to know who I am.
Absolutely.
You know, so I want to do something here in Atlanta. And I think once people come out and really hear it or hear me, I think they're going to really enjoy themselves. So I want to kind of incorporate a album release slash little mini show
into
what I'm doing. And I'm also going to sing a lot of the stuff that's not even on there.
Absolutely. Please keep me posted on that because I would love to be in attendance because I love live music. Like there's nothing better than live music because you can feel it in your soul.
It's a whole different vibe.
Whole different vibe. Especially like you said, you got a band. Like that is amazing. So that's something we can stay looking forward to maybe in the next few months is you're going to be putting a show together here in the Atlanta market. You've got Detroit coming up. What part of Florida are you going to be in?
I want to say West Palm Beach.
Okay.
Somewhere up in there.
Yeah.
Somewhere up in
there. Well, if they follow you on Instagram or whatever, I'm pretty sure they're going to see you're going to be posting or talking about it most definitely. What about the people that love you, support you? Is there anybody you want to say thank you to or shout out to?
Well, one of my main, the two guys, both my producers, Rick Marcel, he's one of the singers with Kool & the Gang. And also he played for the Isley Brothers. If you ever want to go see who Rick is, during the time when Ron had to go on vacation and Ernie couldn't play.
Yeah.
So Rick came in and played for the 4 years. So all you got to go on just Google Ron Isley or go to YouTube, say Ron Isley and Rick Marcel. And
okay.
Then you'll see who Rick is. Rick is just as good as Ernie.
He's a music genius.
And my other producer is Stephen Russell. Stephen Russell is the icon, four-time Grammy Award-winning producer who's the lead singer of Troop. And we always talking, we always collaborate. We got things that we're working on, coming up with different ideas. You know, and I got to give a shout-out to those guys because definitely Rick got me going.
Yeah.
Rick got me going and passed that torch on over to Steve because Steve heard my vocals. He was like, yo. And the rest is history.
I love it. You have a great team of people around you that really genuinely believe in you.
Yes, and that's one of the biggest things. And you got to understand, to be only doing this a couple years, to be around all the heavyweights that I deal with, it takes people sometimes a lifetime just to get under the wings of people like that.
Yes, because what I've learned about that is relationships will put you in places that money cannot.
Yes.
If you build a relationship with a Ron Isley, you're going to be able to sit next to him because you build a relationship with him. But somebody who thinks, oh, I'm just going to pay him. No, you have to build those relationships. And that's what you've done. And you've done it with the right people, the legends.
The legends like Sherelle. I mean, shoot, matter of fact, I just got through talking to Sherelle before I came in here. I mean, we're real cool.
I love it.
I mean, even when Alexander O'Neal, when he heard my music, he was like,
yo,
you got some hit. He's like, I want you to write some songs for me. And I'm like, I'm trying to finish my stuff first.
Nah, for real. For real. Most definitely. Like, it's you, you like you said, you still work full time. You do music full time. It's you got a lot on your plate.
Yes.
But you also know, you know, this is your passion. So you're going to work through every single thing. You know, even if you work all day and you're butt tired, you're going to still find time to do some music stuff because that's your true passion.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, listen, we're about to get into this record. Who is the producer on this record? Tell us the name again.
The name of the song is Nobody Knows, written by yours truly, Roger Hill, and produced by four-time Grammy Award-winning producer Stephen Russell Hart.
Let's go. We appreciate you being here. Y'all stay tuned for it.
Come and see what all the hype is about. Tune in to The Hype 87.3.
Oh, nobody knows the way I feel. Thinking about this love that I have in me. You're the only one that was made for me. Desires of your love, memories of you on me. There's no other place I'd rather be. Lay you down, hold me, and squeeze me. Baby, nobody knows the way I feel about you.
I hate I gotta keep it to myself. Girl, I promise I won't tell nobody.
Nobody knows the way I feel about you. hear the sound every time you say my name. Just wanna love you, girl. Take your time and show me and please me. Baby, nobody knows the way I feel about you.
I hate it, gotta keep it to myself. Girl, I promise I won't tell nobody else.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows the way I feel about you.
Take your time.